I had a conversation with a young man recently, young businessman, successful businessman, comes up to me and says, I want to start going to your church. I go, okay, just come on over. And I said, why don't you want to go to the church you've been going to? He says, well, I don't want to go there anymore. I said, well, did you do anything that you got kicked out that you're going to have to get kicked out of church for? He said, no, I just want to, you know, make a change, go to a church. Okay. A few minutes later, I says, you want to be a man of God? He says, what does that mean? I says, well, as detailed and diligent as you are to run your business and make money, you're visionary, you got strategies, you got mission, vision statements, and all this stuff, and you're on work on time, and you got people working for you, and you're all about all the details. As much as you do that for your business, you got to do that with your faith in Jesus. He said, I don't want to go to your church anymore. I don't know if he was joking, but the implication was that I just kind of wanted to just come. I didn't want to do all that. I didn't want to make the sacrifice that's associated with coming. If you say you want to walk with Christ and you really, really want to be what he wants you to be, it's going to require sacrifice. It's never going to be always what you always want. God is going to call you to do stuff you don't want to do. Now, today we're taking pledges, financial pledges for the building. And I've been telling you every week, please pray. Please pray. Go see the building. Don't do this for any other reason than God telling you to do it. Because it is a sacrifice and you need to be clear that God has called you to it. You're not feeling manipulated at all? If you feel manipulated, please don't get, we don't want your money. We want your heart. We are trying to develop and build an army. There's 2.9 million people in San Diego. We want to get them all saved. We don't want to just throw it on the radio, which we will. We don't put it on TV, which we will. We don't put it on the internet. We don't want to just put it on the internet, which we will. We want to sit down one-on-one with people just like you and sit with people in Starbucks or In-N-Out or at the beach or wherever you go at school and lead people to the Lord right there on the spot. That's your heart. Now, what's going to require part of that is, yeah, we got to build a building, and buildings cost money. We're all part of the plan. We're priesthood of believers. We're all Christians in God's army. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. It is our responsibility. But you need to pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And specifically today is a financial commitment, but it's really also with your heart. In the story we're going to read, very short story, Jesus Christ asked his disciples, who do people say that I am, and who do you say that I am? And they say, you're the Christ. We believe you're the Christ. And the first thing he says after that is that he is going to suffer and die. The book of Mark has 16 chapters. He spends the first half, 8 chapters, teaching about the kingdom of God, displaying the power of the kingdom of God. And in chapter 8, he says, now, who do you think I am? And once it's established that he's the Christ, then he spends the last 8 chapters talking about him dying. Okay? Now that you've accepted that I'm Christ, now you're ready for the hard stuff, the real stuff. Pain and suffering and sacrifice. Peter then takes him on the side and says, I don't think that's right. I don't think you should die. See, I got a better plan. No. We live in a world where we always want to get our way. It ain't about our way. This ain't Burger King. Let's all read verse 27, chapter 8. Says, transformation sacrifice. Verse 27, now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? And they answered, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say one of the prophets. And he says, but who do you say that I am? We just did a series on cults and religions, and we saw that different cults and religions say different things about who Jesus is. Some say he's a spirit child. Some say he's the first begotten of the Father. Some say he's a prophet, a good moral teacher. You need to be clear on who Jesus is, because no matter what your faith is in God, nothing means anything unless you get this question straight. Who is Jesus? Because if you get this question wrong, everything else you do doesn't mean anything. If Jesus is not Lord and Savior, you're lost. Because his lordship in your life is the foundation of true salvation. So he says, who do men say that I am? And look what it says in verse 29. He says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. Verse 30. He charged them that they should tell no one about him, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Look in your notes. The first reason we sacrifice is because Jesus Christ gave his life for us. One of the reasons, the foundation of our sacrificial living is Christ's sacrificial living. He gave his whole I teased my son because his voice is just coming out of the, he just went through his voice changing. And so I call him Scooby-Doo because he'll talk to me and go, so he's saying I'm going backwards. So that my voice every now and then does that. I don't know what's happening. Maybe I'm getting younger. That's what it is. I'm getting younger. Hey, I'm 16 again. Anyway, the foundation of our sacrificial life is Christ's sacrificial life. When Jesus asks you for something, you can never say, well, you didn't do what you're asking me to do, because he did. He died. Look at this, keep reading. Look what it says in verse 32. He spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and rebuked him. And when he turned around, he looked at his disciples and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. What Jesus says is, I am going to die, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be betrayed by one of our fellow disciples, I'm going to be spit on, I'm going to have my beard pulled out, I'm going to be whipped, I'm going to have a thorns put in my head, I'm going to have a spear stuck in my side, I'm going to be nailed to the cross, and I'm going to die. They're going to put me in a tomb, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. Man, that's a heavy thing to learn the minute we acknowledge that you're Jesus. And then Peter says, Jesus, can I talk to you for a minute? And they go behind some rock. And they have a conversation. And in that conversation, Peter says, you can't do that. We don't want you going through that. That's not right. Whatever he said, he tried to correct God and tell God he was wrong. Now, I wasn't there, but I heard. Speculate. Maybe it was because we all live in a world where, you know, especially here in San Diego, where it's all beautiful, where we want life simple. We want life comfortable. We want to be blessed. And especially now that we're Christians, we should be blessed. And we don't want to be inconvenienced. We want our food now. We want blessings now. We want our prayers answered now. And we don't want to have to give up anything to get anything. And as soon as it gets hard, maybe it's not the Lord. And none of that is true. That is so backwards. Jesus says, now that you guys accept that I'm Jesus, God in the flesh, I am going to die a brutal death. And they're like, whoa, man, can't we just go back to kind of multiplying the fish and the bread and kind of walking on water? Just do that stuff for a little longer. Why you got to be talking about getting nailed to wood? So, no, Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were ever walking with God and had a conversation with God, and God told you to do something, or God told you he was going to do something, do you think you would ever have the nerve to tell God he was wrong? Yes or no? You sure? Are you sure? You're not sure? Are you sure? If you're sure, say yes. If you're not sure, say no. You're right, because a lot of y'all do it, we do it every day. Did you do everything God told you to do today? Did you witness to everybody God told you to witness to? Did you pray every time God told you to pray today? Did you carry your Bible where God told you to carry your Bible? Did you call and tell your mother you loved her today when you were supposed to? Did you do what God told you today? Or did you say to God, God, you know, I know you want me to go over to witness, but there's just too many people around. I'll just do it later. I think I got a better idea. God, I know you want me to get up and pray, but yeah, I'm just kind of tired. I need my beauty sleep, buddy. I'll just do it later on. It's not a good time right now. Same thing. What did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Everyone say Satan. If I'm Peter, I'm thinking, why I gotta be Satan? Why can't I be stupid, an idiot, a knucklehead? Why you gotta go to the devil? Why you gotta go there? You know why? Because if God wants you to go that way, anything other than that way is satanic. It's satanic. And I'm not saying you're a devil worshiper. But God says, I'm not running a democracy here. This is the way it needs to be done. There is no other, oh, I didn't think of that. You know, God tells us to do stuff, and sometimes we think, oh, he didn't think of this way. He knows. My parents were here last week, and someone, they were sitting over there, and some of y'all went over and talked to them, and they were just loving. They were here for six services. My dad was here for six services, my mom five, and I said, Dad, what do people say to you? They said, oh, some people came over and said, they asked me what you were like as a little kid. I said, what'd you tell him? You know, I'm just a fine young man, you know, just was a young, nice little boy. And when I was a little kid, we got whoopings. Now, I know today you got child protection service and all that stuff, but, you know, they didn't come to my neighborhood. They didn't know about my, now we were not abused at all, but we got whoopings. And I learned over time that it wasn't a long time, but I learned very quickly that I didn't like getting whoopings. So when I got in trouble, I would punish myself. And I would tell my father, I'm going to punish myself. You don't have to do it. I'm going to go to my room by myself, and I'll come down in like 30, 40 days. You don't got to worry about me. And he would laugh. He would laugh now because, you know, when we all get together, they say, man, Miles was a little punk. He would always punish himself. And my brother on the other hand, he's like, yeah, hit me. Go ahead, hit me. You know, he was an idiot. That's why he went into boxing because he was crazy. I was like, no, I want to preserve. I want to live a little longer. I'll go punish myself. I felt like I had a better plan. Do you feel like you got a better plan than God? Well, let me tell you something, you don't. And when God says, I'm going to die, and I want you to follow me, I want you to lay down your life, do it. I started playing golf. I don't know, anybody here play golf? Okay. Yeah. Golf is a very difficult sport. So I was putting the other day for Triple Eagle. That's real funny. I don't even know if there's such a thing. You know, it's a hole in one, right? But anyway, I was putting for Triple Seagull. It's like... And I was like 30 feet from the hole, and there was a guy who was 15 feet from the hole. And he says to me, now, by the rules, I'm supposed to putt first. And because he was in the same line as me, he was going to see how the grass and how the hole would break. So he says to me, you go first so I can know what I can do. So in other words, I'm going to sacrifice my putt so he can make his. Because if he sees my ball do that, he knows that's how it's going to break, so he would compensate. So he basically said, you miss, so I can make it. Jesus Christ died for us. He said, I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to make the way open for you. So we sacrifice. We live a life of sacrifice to follow our leader. Not only because he did it, but it is the way our fleshly desires are crucified. Look at the next point. In your notes, we sacrifice by living a life of self-denial. We sacrifice by living a life of self-denial. You don't want to think of, well, what can I give up today as my act of sacrifice versus saying I am going to live a life of self-sacrifice, a life where I say no to myself and let Christ say yes to me. Look what it says in verse 34. When he called the people to him, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Three things. If you want to come after me and be like me, you have to, one, deny yourself, say no to yourself, and I'll explain what that means in a minute, take up your cross, and then you can come follow me. Now, I want you to imagine Jesus Christ on the cross. I want you to imagine Jesus Christ being crucified. And I want you to imagine that Jesus Christ, before he was crucified, he had to say no to his own desire. If you remember, he was in the garden praying, Lord, if there's any other way for sin to be paid for, if there's any other way, please show me. But if this is your will, not my will be done, but your will be done. Do you think he wanted to get beat? Wanted to be crucified, wanted, I mean, he understood what it was going to accomplish, but he was not looking forward to it. It was painful, and he knew it. And he did it out of obedience because it was the only way to have our sins paid for. But do you think that he enjoyed it? Oh, no. He said, Lord, is there any other way? But because I'm living a life of self-denial, I'm denying my own desires so I can submit to yours. That's what he called us to do. So when you get up in the morning, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? When you go to school, when you go to work, when you go to the gym, when you go to the park, when you go to the beach, when you get on the trolley, whatever you do, Lord, what do you want me to do? And your desire, man, I want to sit down. God said, I don't want you to sit down, stay up. I want to stand up. I don't want you to stand up. I want you to sit down. I want to be quiet. I don't want you to be quiet. I want you to talk to her. Talk to him. Pray for her. Pray for him. I want you to read your Bible right now while everyone's looking at you. Get it out of your bag. Dig it from way down, deep down in the bottom, and bring it up and pray like that. Okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do. That. And once you say no to yourself, then you nail yourself to the cross. What does that mean? That you have rendered yourself crucified. You no longer exist. It's not about what you want. God is going to bless you more than you can bless yourself. If you think, well, if I deny myself, I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to do anything I want. No, quite the opposite. You are more happy. You know, the only reason people get mad or angry is because they don't get what they want. Think about it. The only reason you ever get mad or angry at anything for any reason is because you don't get your way. You don't get what you want. So you know how you can never get mad ever again? Don't want anything. Now, it seems like I don't want anything. What does that mean? That means don't want anything. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have a desire or interest, but it means that you don't have to have it. If God doesn't give it to you, it's okay. It is okay. Lord, what do you want me to have? Now, you could say, I sure would like that nice red car. But you know what, Lord, if you don't want it, and you know what, I'm going to try to get it. But if you don't want me to have it, it's okay. And you know what, God may say, I don't want you to have it. And he gives you a better car. Or he changes your taste. Or he teaches you sacrifice. And then, you know what, you walk around with your hand open for your whole life. Because it's not about you trying to get. It's about you just being obedient. That's it. And Jesus Christ was a perfect example. He says, if you want to come after me, say no to yourself, render yourself crucified, and then after you've done that, then you could follow me. Many people think they're following Jesus, and they're not. They're just walking around in church world, doing church things. But it's all about the church things that they're doing that they think will please God on their own. In other words, I think if I go to church twice a month, of course God can't send me to hell. Or if I read my Bible once a week, God can't send me to hell. Instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Number three, we sacrifice in order to honor Jesus. We sacrifice in order to honor Jesus. Look what it says in verse 35. It says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Jesus says, if you want to gain your life, you have to lose your life. If you want to be strong, you have to be weak. If you want to be smart, you have to be dumb. What does that mean? If you want to be strong, surrender your strength to God and let him give you his strength. If you want to be smart, surrender your intelligence to God and let him give you his wisdom. It doesn't mean you don't think. It means that you think and then you say, Lord, what do you think of these facts? He says, if you want to gain your life, let your life go, because by holding on, it's like a ball and chain. It'll take you to the bottom of the ocean. I was, there's a little monkey called the Gibbons monkey. The Gibbons monkey's really fast, got really good eyesight, lives high up in the trees. And if you were to hunt a Gibbons monkey and you came with a rifle, you would never shoot one because they would be so fast, they would hear you coming, you would never catch them. But the guy who successfully hunts a Gibbons monkey, he takes this hollowed out coconut that has a chain attached to it, and he takes the chain. At the end of the chain is a spike that he nails into the base of a tree, puts the coconut on the ground and puts rice and candy in the coconut. And he puts this all over the forest floor. Then he goes on, go back to his tent. And these monkeys come down and they see the coconut. And then they can smell the rice and the candy in it. And he says, it smells real good. Then they run over to it and they hit it and they can hear it go, shh, sounds real good. Then they stick their hand inside the coconut and they say, it feels real good. There's a whole lot of stuff in life that look good, smell good, feel good, sound good. Some of that stuff will kill you, amen? Oh, it'll get you in trouble. So he sticks his hand in the coconut and he says, yeah, I got it. But because he's got his hand full of rice, he can't get his hand out of the hole of the coconut. So he starts to bang it on the rock, but it's a fake metal coconut. He starts to try to bite the chain, but he can't bite it because it's metal. Tries to pull the spike out of the tree, and he won't come out. So he's trying to get his hand out and trying to break the coconut because he won't let go of the rice. And all over the forest, all these little monkeys going, And the guy, the hunter, comes by with his little gun. Bam, bam. Bam, bam, shooting all these monkeys. Why is that funny? That's cool. All these monkeys had to do to get free was let go of the rice. Open up their hand. You know what Jesus says? You want to hold on to your life? You're going to lose it. You trying to hold on to your things? You're going to lose them. Try to hold on to your dreams? You don't need to get rid of them, but give them to God. It's not you against God. It's all God's. And if the monkey would just let go, he would live. But he lost his life over some little rice because he didn't realize, he didn't see the bigger picture. We are building this building, going through all that we're going through. Why? To honor Jesus. Why? So people can get to know who Jesus is. It is not about the physical building. Oh, the building's going to be the bomb. But it's not going to be the bomb, so we can have a comfortable place. We will have a comfortable place, but that is not the end. It's not so we can just, okay, now we're in our little bubble. It's so we can get because millions of people in and out of that building and watching via video, ESPN, internet, however we can get it to them, and have all these millions of people get saved so they can know who Jesus is. Because it does them no good to know who we are. A friend of mine, I coached Pop Warner 3 years, and my head coach, who's like a little brother to me, he never got saved. I witnessed to him. I still see him, so he's still a project. But I witnessed to him, invited him to church, been here many times, and he won't get saved. I was like, man, you got to get saved, man. You're messing up my averages now. That's all the time I spent with you. Oh, no, I'm going to do it. I said, brother, you got to get saved. He says, look, all I'm going to, this is what he says to me. When I die, I'm going to go to the pearly gates, and I'm going to say, I know Miles. Brother, do not mention my name. Don't say you know me. They'll be snatching me out of heaven, coming, talking to me, what's going on. It don't do us any good to know each other. We got to know who Jesus is. The reason that we're going through this whole building process, the reason we have Bible study every week, church every Sunday, the reason you pray, the reason you read your Bible is for all those people who are outside that door. The church is the only institution created for the people who are not yet in it. The church was not created for the people in it. Jesus did not die for righteous people. He died for sinners. He gave us the message to save sinners. You were saved by that message, the gospel. And he gives us that message. We do all of this to fulfill our mission. And our mission is three words. The mission of the Rock Church is to
save sinners.
There you go, right behind me. And you see those words? Those words are made with cards that we gave you over the last couple of weeks. And all those cards have names of people we're praying for to be saved that you gave us. That's what it's for. And I want you, in your mind, whether you make a commitment today or you're praying or you come to church here, that you personalize your involvement in this church and make it very personal. That there are people out there that are, you feel personally responsible to help. You feel personally called by God to help. People that God loves with all his heart. and that you make it a personal thing. There was a movie called A Time to Kill with Samuel L. Jackson. And in this movie, it was staged in the South in the 60s, long before a lot of y'all were born, very racially segregated, violently racist, and these two white hillbillies, drunk, assaulted in every way you can assault a little girl and killed her in a very brutal, satanic way. And she was a little black girl. She was Samuel Jackson's daughter in the show. Now, Samuel Jackson's mad anyway, so you know he was yelling in this movie. Y'all know who Samuel Jackson is? Okay. That brother's always yelling. So in this movie, his daughter was killed by these guys, and make a long story short, in the beginning of the movie, he had a confrontation with these guys, and he ended up killing them. It was just the scene caused his anger to boil over, and he grabbed the gun and shot him. So now he's on trial. The whole jury's white. It's the South. He ain't got no hope of getting a fair trial, much less getting off. He's going to be killed, death penalty. Poor black man in the South in this city. So they went through the whole trial, and his attorney had his last closing remarks, his summation of the trial. He asked all the jury to close their eyes. And he described every detail of what these men did to this little 9-year-old girl. And you could see them just crying, getting a heart broke, this and that. But she still, in that environment, was just some poor black girl on the other side of town. Ain't got nothing to do with us. And then he said at the end of his description about what happened, he says, now I want you all to imagine she's a little white girl. And she's your daughter, your niece. Then they really started crying. Why? Because it became personal. Your faith needs to be personal. This ain't about, oh, I'm coming to church. Let me look cute in church. Oh, in the sanctuary. Now, I'm not saying you can't do all that. But it ain't about you. It's about somebody who's out there right now sleeping under the bridge that's 14 years old, who's selling their body in Balboa Park sexually just so they can eat breakfast tomorrow. Right now. Somebody getting molested right now. Someone getting raped. 213 women are raped every year in San Diego. One person a day commits suicide in San Diego. Someone right now might be trying to hang themselves. That those people are people you know, people you love, or people you need to know. My wife and I sat with a guy in that room this morning, 29, his wife is 29, little boy, and he told a story about how he got off cocaine the last 8 months, how it was ruining his life. His mom was in there, they were all crying. God changed his life. And I said to him, you got to go get somebody now. You got to go get somebody. That's what it's about. And you need to know that. We don't want you to just give us your money. We want you with both feet saying, I want to be part of the solution. There's 2.9 million people in San Diego, and it's going up every day. There's going to be 4 million people in 10 years. And guess what? When they step in San Diego, they need to be confronted with Jesus. There was a lady who came here 3 weeks ago, and I've been inviting her to church. I think I told you this. And she finally came 2 weeks ago. I said, how was it? She said, it was in my face. She did that. It was accountability, but I'm coming back. Why? Because it's simple. It's just a simple fact. Let's be real about it. We're all sinners. Jesus Christ died for us. He wants to forgive us of our sin, and he wants to use us in an amazing way. Why can't you tell? Remember we talked about if every one of us shared our faith one time a week with one person in some form or fashion, that's 486,000 people in 1 year. And we go to our new building, it goes up to 1.4 million people in 1 year. There's only 2.9 million in the city. That's in 2 years, we can get everybody from one church. Hold up. In 2 years, this church alone at that rate can share the gospel one-on-one with everybody in San Diego. Does that mean anything to you? Versus us just coming to church, praise the Lord, don't rock my boat, here's a dollar. I'm going to come to church twice a month. God's going, how come God's not blessing me? Instead of saying, no, Lord, I'm in the army. I use this illustration often, but I want to use it again because I love it so much. Forrest Gump in the Marine Corps. Drill sergeant says, what is your sole purpose in the Marine Corps, Mr. Gump? He says, my sole purpose is to do everything you tell me, drill sergeant. All y'all in the Marines. We got some Marines in here, right? Is that a new thing? I thought, ooh, rah. All right, you kind of got caught in your throat, I understand. But all y'all in the military, all y'all in the Marine Corps, can you ever imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be wrong because I've never been in the Corps, but can you imagine somebody who's above you telling you to do something and you don't do it, giving you an order? Well, Sarge, you know, I just don't think that I want to run over that hill right now. There's bullets flying. I don't want to get my hair all messed up, but Sarge, I think maybe that. Send him. Oh, now. You go. When God tells us to do something, we go. Look what Jesus says in verse 36. He says, whoever is ashamed of me, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. My friends, you're going to watch a video here in a minute. And this video is going to kind of summarize what our building's about, what hopefully you've been praying about. And then we're going to go through our pledge ceremony. And my prayer is for you is that God would show you why we are in this room today, why we are building this building, and what our destiny is, and show you what he wants you to do. Amen? So let's watch the video. Amen. Amen. That is your church. That is our church. That is the opportunity that God has given us. To whom much is given, much is required. And I pray you sense a level of responsibility that God has placed on us to do what he's called us to do. There was a, one day I went into an Oscars, and this young lady came up to me at the counter. I was there to order food or pick up food, and if you ever noticed at Oscars, there's like 50 people behind the counter working. And it was just busy, this lady came up to me, and she went, zip! She says, my name is so-and-so, I'm pregnant, my boyfriend's in prison, I'm this age, and I need help. And I was like, you know, why are you telling me this? And she says, I'm a sheep, I need a shepherd, and I need help. And I was like, okay, got her information. And I was leaving, walking down the street, and God was speaking to me. I was looking at the cracks in the sidewalk as he was talking to me, and he said, if you help her, there are a ton of people like that who need help. And I will give you all the resources you need if you are faithful to help people. A couple years later, it was the last Sunday at Montezuma Hall. It was the last service. And if you remember at San Diego State, you parked across the street and you came up the stairs and you walked a quarter mile to get to the sanctuary. And I had never walked that path. So it was the last night, and I happened to go out there. I said, I'm just going to walk it. And I went out there between services, and I was walking back with everybody. And this girl comes up to me as I'm walking in. She says, do you remember being at Oscars? And I said, yes. And she says, that's my daughter. And she says, who's the man? The little girl said, Jesus. And she said, she goes to the Rock Academy School. Needless to say, I was tripping. I was tripping. When I look at that building, that's what I see. God saying, I'm doing it. You do your part. I'll do my part. Me doing my part is not Miles doing Miles' part. It's all of us doing our part. Because there's only so much I can do. Matter of fact, I think I do too much. Well, that's us doing it. And if we all just said, you know what? We're locking arms. Ain't nobody. You ever see that commercial? It's the deodorant commercial. They lock on and say, we call T.O. over. those goofy dudes like that. And T.O. runs over. Wow. You know, because they're locked together. And if we're locked together, hey, the devil got to go. So we're going to pray. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a minute. You're going to hear some music for your listening pleasure. And you're going to please get out this card. And the front of the card is the part with the people on it. You could put in your pledge. If you've made a pledge in the past, you want to reaffirm and add to it, you can. Or if you want to make a first-time pledge, what you think you'll give over 3 years outside of your tithes. On the back is your contact information, if you're going to pay monthly, annually, one time. And then there's some optional giving opportunities for appreciated assets. If you don't know what that is, you probably don't have any, so don't worry about it. So just skip that part. And if you are saying, you know what, I'm not down with any of this, just put on there you want to pray. Because we're going to have all the rows come, and you just drop it in, and no one's going to look at your card, and you'll be on your way. So let's take a minute before we do anything and fill that out.